But I'm gonna have to sit down a couple of times, Amanda, sister, because I still have a lot of, you know, problems. And thank you, ma'am. Amanda, it's been so nice to allow me to do that this morning. 15 months ago, you know, I was on the floor right there. 15 months, Amanda. My heart stopped, and there was a doctor, Eliano Pastor, sitting in the second room, I think, you know, an ER doctor. And a lot of people said, even the doctors later said, you are so lucky. And manos, we just listened to and read Genesis 22, ¿verdad? And that God is an awesome God. Amen. And that God has a name that we enjoy. Several names, hermanos. One of them is Jehovah Jireh, the great provider that God provides. Do you believe that, hermanos?
Amen.
That God provides?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Because sometimes, hermanos, so many of us say we believe, and yet when we have a situation in our lives, we wonder how or what we're going to do. We're going to refer to some scripture, hermanos, and my wife will be looking at me because I don't want to go too long. I don't want to. Not that I don't trust God and believe Him. I have to do everything real slow. I've been taking a medication for 6 months, going on 7 months, three times a day. 6 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 10 at night. And I gotta eat. So I gotta get up early in the morning, you know? And my wife is not there at that time. I go buy a taco. I bring it home, and I put in whole grain wheat bread. Right? Don't eat the tortilla, just smell it, because I love Charlie Brown tortillas, you know? And I sprinkle it, put it in the bread, and I eat it very slowly, and then I take the pill. And it's a very powerful pill, but it has really calmed the heart down. And my doctor says, you know, I've never seen anybody so drugged up. And he says, they don't want to take it away because the heart has maintained a nice beat. I had lost the beat of my heart, okay? And so I just praise God, okay? That we have an awesome God, okay? If you would look in your Bible to the book of Matthew 19, verse 26, the rich young ruler has just come and the Lord has told him his, you know, steps, that he has to trust the Lord completely. He says, go and give all what you have. And he walked away because he had too much. And so the disciples say, then how can anybody be saved? And Jesus responds and says, to men, those things are impossible. But then the end of that verse says what? To God, all things are what?
Possible.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
See, we say that we believe, okay? But the real test is, what are we going to do when something happens? Okay? The test will come if it hasn't come already. Because everyone is going to have to come to this point where you realize if you really trusting God or not. Now, this morning, the Lord gave me this all week long, but different titles, until finally I said, Lord, everything is just so awesome of who you are. Because we have an awesome God. He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. Okay? He's in control of the animals. Some people, when they read Genesis 22, they say, I don't know about that. How could there be a ram this giant, okay, you know, just a big goat with humongous horns? How can that goat be like that? Somebody made up that story. Nonsense. In your own life, you have seen things that only God can move. Not God moves animals in us. I loved it when I would hunt with the pastor, because he would sit in the blind and he would say, let's see what God is going to bring our way. Do you believe that a man can kill a deer without a rifle? My grandfather did that. He was chasing a deer, and the deer got tangled up in the barbed wire, okay? And my grandfather took a machete and went over there and said, God, thank you for bringing this deer here. You know? Now, my older brother, who's a preacher in Quarrel, went hunting. He loved hunting. He went hunting, and he startled a deer. Startled a deer, and the deer came at him. You know, a deer can really hurt you. They're very strong. And there were some vines hanging down, and the deer came and got tangled up in the vines. If it had not been for those vines, my brother possibly would have been very, very hurt. God moves everything in us. So this morning, I felt it in my heart to share with you that God's word, that we should thank God for who he is. Usually, we thank God for what he gives us. And we should thank God for who he is. Okay? You know, it would be wonderful to one day for us to have some paper and pencils. And I say, okay, man, so I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Write 10. I was going to say 20, but I'm going to give you a short test. Write 10, okay, things that you're grateful to God for who he is. You know, I do that. I go, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Because he's faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, we say. But thank you for your loyalty. He's a loyal person. Loyal God. Is that right? A loyal friend. Last week, the pastor preached about, you know, God is our friend. He's loyal. He has promised never to leave me, never to forsake me. My God is truthful. How can I praise God? Thank you for your truthfulness, because you never lie. That's what the Bible says. He never lies. Everything he says will come. Whatever he says in his word, well, his word will be fulfilled. Do you ever thank God for his truthfulness? Do you ever thank God? We thank God for the forgiveness of our sins. How do I know that he has forgiven me? That's what people ask. The Bible says that if we confess our sins to him, he is just, he is faithful, and he will cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. And you could just go on and on about who God is. Now, I looked this up, and my phone doesn't do those things. I'm a little bit smarter than my phone, okay? And but my wife had an iPod. She got some information. I had already read this in a history book. I was a history major, and I love the stories. And this is the way that God gave it to me, okay? Same information about the sovereignty of God and how we should trust that somehow God is going to work. Do you know that God works when we don't even know he's working? When we're unconscious, God is working. When we're asleep, God is working on our behalf. You are never alone. That's what he promised. Okay? And so, I want you to listen to this. And you think about this. Almost 400 years ago, some maybe a little more than 400 because of the characters. An Indian was walking in the forest, And some people from England who are already here captured this Indian. And they took him as a slave to England. They needed workers in the fields. And the Indians learned how to cultivate, learn how to plant, learn how to harvest, especially corn, okay? Learn a lot about agriculture. He eventually escapes and gets on a ship and comes back to America. With all this knowledge, some of you studied him, about him when you were a child, and they, what was his name? Squanto. Can you believe that? He learned English. He learned how to cultivate and how to plant things. There was another Indian who was not captured, and he was here in America. And he was further north, okay? And he worked with the Dutch. He was a great hunter. He worked with the Dutch. He learned English from the Dutch. And the years passed. One was over in England, one was over here, and eventually, you know, Squanto comes over here, and this Indian, hermanos, from the Abenaki tribe, okay? And Squanto was from the Potex tribe. They met, and they probably said, like a lot of people say, you know, I met this person, you know that God places people in your path? Do you believe that? That God places people in your path, and many times we're not sensitive of the people that God has placed in our path. In my life, hermanos, playing tennis, one Saturday morning, I met three doctors playing tennis. There were four, one got sick, so they invited me to participate with them. And listen to this. One of them became my dentist. The Lord led me to lead the celebration of life when he died last year. Right before my experience there, okay? It's a wonderful person in us. He got to know the Lord. Now, another one, Dr. Schultz, became my family doctor. The third one that has been a gift, I call him a friend given to me by God. His name is Dr. Matthew, a cardiologist among us. And he is the one that God gave me to help me with my heart. Isn't that incredible? I've always said, Lord, thank you. Thank you because you're awesome and you work everything for what? For our good. Why does he do that? Because we love him. For those who love the Lord, God works in your behalf in beautiful ways. Even when you think that he's going to do something. Even when you think that he's not there for you, he's always there for you and us. Now watch this. In 1620, there were 102 people that wanted to come to America. They finally found a ship and they came to America. 102 people. They wanted to be free and worship God, you know, the way the Spirit led them to worship God. And they came 66 days in that little boat. Can you believe that? The crew, and then the people that were coming, the families that were coming, 66 days. And they landed in the wrong spot. They stayed there for a month. And then they decided to go south to Plymouth. They came, you know, in the United States. And so, can you believe that? In the first winter, they had not finished the little houses, the little huts and everything. They had trouble with the Indians, and they couldn't raise anything because they really didn't know how to grow things. And winter came. Winter came, and they were really not prepared. half of the people die. Half of the people die. So how many are left? There were 102. There's just 50 people among us. Someone had to live in the boat during the winter. Can you imagine the snow and everything? Did you ever go someplace among us and go without a coat? Go without winter clothing? My wife and I went to Chicago one Thanksgiving. My sister from Chicago said, you'll never come during Thanksgiving. You only come during the summer. The summer is beautiful. And so we went in November in Thanksgiving. We got to the airport, so we had to pick us up, and it was snowing. We forgot to call ahead of time and say, tell us about the weather, you know. And so I told my sister, you know, I didn't bring a coat. And my sister's very good about this. There's a goodwill on the way to the airport, stop there and everybody. So I remember that coat because it was Eddie Bauer, reversible, two sides for $8. So we got a coat. When you're not prepared, they're not. These people, the ones who survived, God had a purpose and a plan for them. The winter is over, and now they get on the ship, and they got to start building what they can. But before they do any building and anything, guess what they do? Some of the history books have this, others don't. And the iPad, it didn't say that. Just a short information, okay? They got together to pray, remember? To pray, wondering. They haven't become friends with the Indians. They don't know how to talk to them. And they pray, God, be merciful to us. We're here because we believe that you have a purpose for our lives. Right now, we haven't found that purpose. Half of us have died. But all of a sudden, the door of that little house of worship, it wasn't very pretty. It wasn't as pretty as this. This sure does look pretty when you come in and you see it. It's about thank you for giving us a place to worship. But you know what? You worship where God is. And God was there. The doors opened. The little doors they had made opened. And an Indian came in. And the men get the little. At that time they had some rifles that they had a funnel in the front. Okay? And they got together and the Indian says hello. And they think he's speaking a different language. He's speaking English. I don't remember exactly if his name was Samso said, but he was the first one from the Abenaki tribe in English, and explains to them that he knows English because he had been taught by the Dutch further north. And so a few days later, he leaves and he goes and brings his friend Squanto, and he brings him back. See how God is working? He brings his friend, and his friend talks to them. I know how y'all can grow things. And they began to plant, and things began to grow. And what do you think they're doing all this time now? They're learning and they're praising God because here are these Indians, and usually we say these things. He came from nowhere. He didn't come from nowhere. Who prepared them? God did. You know that? God prepared them. And they have a fantastic harvest. In the spring of 1621, they cannot believe, hermanos, all the food they have. And the governor, by that time, they had chosen a leader. His name was William Bradford. Said, we're going to celebrate and thank God. They went through Manso said, Squanto Spring, and talked to the Indians and made a treaty with the Indians. And for 3 days, they feasted, they ate, and they praised God for blood, for God. We believe that God can do those things in the modern. We believe that God can move people to work in your favor. The pastor has doctors that have become his friends and that have helped him and been a blessing to his life. In 2009, the soldiers that fought with me in Vietnam found me. And we had a reunion. My wife and I went to St. Louis, Missouri. And I remet a bunch of the guys that were in the platoon. I was an officer. I was a lieutenant. I came back and I made a terrible mistake. I was so excited. I never thought that I would see these men again. They were 18, 19 year olds now, you know, we're all with gray hair and everything. Some of us, they were 100 pounds heavier than what they were then, you know, and very hard. It was so wonderful to see these guys. And when I came back home, the end of October, 2009, I was like in a cloud. And I was just thanking God for this bonus that he gave me. And I got on the bicycle, I was biking back then. I got on the bicycle and I started running. I just went around the neighborhood saying, hello, how you doing? God bless you. And you know, that's how you feel, okay? And so I decided to go to the base on a trip and I took off, you know. And on the way back, we got to go over this bridge that goes over to Flower Love. And they got a bicycle and pedestrian path. And I'm climbing that little hump like that, doing about 25 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, the chain link fence is falling over to the side and is blocking the path. And all I thought was all those sharp points of the wire, they're going to tear out my eyes. And in an instant, I let go of the handlebars and I put my hands up like that and I stuck them all right here and crashed, knocked myself out. I broke up my skull, I broke my eye socket, my eye popped out, I cracked my nose, I cracked my shin, I tore the rotator cuff on this side, and I broke 3 ribs, and 1 rib moved, and it scratched the spleen, and I'm bleeding on the side of the road. God brought a lady driving, from Flower Love, right over the hump, and I see somebody there on the bicycle there, all bent up. And she went all the way to John Paul Jones. There's some beautiful lady there. Turn around, had to go all the way back to Flower Love Drive. Turn around, come back, because of the division and everything and the traffic. I had my phone in a sock, you know, so I could reach it real easy. Came out and she picked up the phone. And she punched the button to find the person I had talked to last. And I had talked to my daughter from Austin. So that lady calls my daughter. The lady identifies, you know, that I was this and that and that. And says, okay, that's my dad. So my daughter calls my wife. And she rushes to the edge of that bridge there going to Flower Love. And the ambulance had just come. They're putting me in there and everything. And they take me to memorial because they take the real bad people there as far as brokenness and everything. My wife called the pastor. And the pastor saw what had been there and all these things. The that I've had. And the doctor said, an average person would have died with everything that has happened to you. You're a very lucky man. They use the word luck, but they're not. If you're a believer and we trust God like we say we do, it is God who is merciful. It's God who is moving things for your life, okay, to bless you, because Psalms 138 verse 8 says this: Dios cumplirá sus propósitos en mi vida, y no desamparará a aquel que él hizo con sus manos. The God has a purpose for your life, and God has a purpose for my life. And nothing can keep God from fulfilling his promises for me. The doctor said, another person would have died. But you're alive. Because God has a purpose. I don't do those things in purpose. You know what I mean? But I believe Romans 8:28. Listen to Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things together for our good, to those who love the Lord. Sometime back, someone called about something in the need, and they say, could you pray for this thing that has happened to us? I said, tell me Romans 8:28. And this person said, God causes all things together for our good. No. Say it again. God causes all things together for our good. No. It was getting a little frustrated with me. Look at the Bible. What does it say? We know. See? Not mental no. It's what? Corazón no. That you know with your heart that you have an awesome God, that you have a God that will move mountains for you. For men, these things are impossible, but for God, all things are possible. You know, in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, God invites you to do the following. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Do you know what that means? Don't try to figure it out yourself. You're going to make a bigger mess. Get God involved. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Get God involved in your life. Get Him involved. Get God involved. We have had friends that say, I'm looking for a place to live and I haven't found anything. And I'll ask, have you prayed about it? No. Well, pray about it. You'll be surprised what God does. You know that? We have an awesome God. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He does. Look at us. 2 weeks ago, I went to renew my driver's license. I could have done it on the phone. I could have done it by mail. But I couldn't lie. I've had all these problems, these issues, and I didn't want to say that I was okay. So I went to the office down 37. And I took the test, and I failed the driver's test. And then my brother took me, and he says, you failed? You failed? And I failed. I couldn't lie. I told him, I had to tell him everything that I had. Because if you have an accident, and those waters will search you out, and they'll find it, and you're in big trouble. Anyway, so I failed the eye test. Couldn't see anything with the left eye. The this is the one that, you know, had that accident. So they said, we're going to give you this paperwork here, and you go to an ophthalmologist, a doctor who specializes, you know, on the eye. And you go have him checked out. And he says you can get a license, he'll sign everything, and give it to you. So I said, you know how long it's going to take to get sometimes a doctor's appointment? You need to go, and they said, well, we're going to open it in 2 months. We're going to open it in 3 months. I need this thing as quickly as I can. And so my wife called her up. It was on a Tuesday that we went, and they took me in on Friday. And the doctor checks me out, and everything, so he says, yeah, there's something wrong with the left eye. He said, I'm going to make you an appointment, and I want you to see a retina specialist. Some people would have said, wow, see, that's why I don't go to doctors. They're going to find this, they're going to find that, and everything. Well, I don't want to have any problems in the future. So I said this, thank you. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't have found this. When they find it now, they can fix it. So the doctor says, your right eye is very good. So I'm going to give you permission to get a driver's license and everything. Here, take it over there. But they got the new glasses. So they should be in this week. As soon as my glasses come in, I'll go and get my driver's license. So she could have said somebody like my brother said, you failed? Nobody fails. Well, I did. And I thank God because how he works. He may not work the way we want to, but he works in a way to fulfill his purposes in life. If we have something wrong, then there's a way to fix it. This week, when it comes to the Dia del Pavo, don't just sit there and gulp it up. My wife likes to ask the family, come on, say something that you're grateful for. Okay? Dale gracias a Dios por tu familia. Dale gracias a Dios porque todavía puedes ver. Dale gracias a Dios porque todavía puedes andar. Dale gracias a Dios porque tienes un lugar donde vivir. Yo me acuerdo cuando se goteaba mucho la casa. Cuando se gotea cuando no llueve, pero cuando llueve, pues por eso hay cubetas y todo, y no hay que entrar. Okay, but we had a place to live. There are so many things, but most of all, hermanos, dale gracias a Dios por quien Él es. Él es mi creador. Él es mi sustentador. Él es mi ley.
Amen. Amen.
Él es mi todo. He is all in all.